Monday, February 6th, 2023, Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45, followed by Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
You think? There you go.
Okay, let's call the meeting, the Board of Equalization meeting to order, and we'll stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall for the entrance of the county boardroom and is available to review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please? Sheree?
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Okay, I'll make a motion to excuse Bryant for the time. I'm sure he'll be showing up here in a minute.
I'll second that.
Is that okay if we do that, or should we just... Okay, yeah. Okay, call roll on the on that, please. Sheree?
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yep.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, consent agenda items. Looks like we just got the approval of the previous minutes on January 23rd, 2023. Need a motion on that to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay, we got a motion by Troy.
Yeah, I'll second it.
And a second by Marty. Will you call roll on the consent agenda, please?
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Okay, looks like new business. We have a hearing for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership, an application exemption for motor vehicle taxes, calling for nonprofit organization. Looks like they have two. They have a 2016 Dodge Caravan. Looks like it's ending the VIN number at 108050. And then we have a second one's another 2016 Caravan. The VIN number is ending in 102859. They are used for the staff to attend meetings and other activities for early head start and for the programs. Applications come recommendation and approval by Don Bosquet, the treasurer. Okay, formality, seems like it becomes a weekly ritual. Board to consider a recommendation of the county treasurer and any of the information to obtain and shall approve or deny the exemption. So, I need a motion to approve the exemption for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership for their two vehicles for exemption that they use for business.
So moved.
Okay, we got Bob as a motion on that. And a second.
Troy.
By Troy.
I'll second.
Okay, will you call roll, please?
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, and then we got B, we got Christy. Assessor requesting approval of the tax list corrections.
She had none this time.
Huh?
She didn't have any this time.
She didn't have any this time, so we don't have anything there. Okay, easy enough. We'll go to number three, mail emergency business. Sheree, anything?
Nothing.
Zero. Anybody from the public here? We got a pretty large public here. Wants to talk about anything that we just talked about? If not, I don't believe we're going to have. We are adjourned, and it is 2:49. Thanks for all coming. Have a good day, and we'll see you next time. Just kidding. We got a couple minutes here.
Oh, my God.
Can you shut that off, Sheree, or not? So we don't get our...
So.
Rid of that
calculator
table they had sitting out there.
Thanks, Marty.
And
yeah. Here's
that
there.
I stole the... One of the deputies was standing in the hall to help me with one piece of it. The other stuff was light, so...
Yeah, it's that fancy, like, grayish.
Okay. I have 3 o'clock. We'll call the Board of Commissioners meeting to order. Let's do... we did the pledge earlier. Sheree, let's do the roll call. Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Here.
Thank you. I think Brian is coming. coming, so I'll make a motion to excuse Brian for the time. Or let's just, he'll be here, so let's leave it at that. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. The first item on the agenda is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear about any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the amount of time. Is there anyone here wanting to address the board on any item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on then to item two, consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner for special discussion and consideration. Unless there is an exception, these items will be approved as one with a single vote of the Board of Commissioners. Item A is approval of previous meeting minutes from January 23rd, 2023. Approval of payroll claims January 22nd through February 4th. Troy and I went through those today. And item C is approval of quarterly report from the Veterans Service Officer.
I'll make a motion on the consent agenda items to approve.
Okay.
I can second.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. All right, thank you. Item three, new business and resolutions. Board item A, board to approve or not approve resolution 23C-004 to vacate the east half of platted West First Street right-of-way portion approximately 20 feet west and approximately 110 feet north and south of adjacent Lot 9, Block 3, Crystal Beach, parcel 220073724, Dakota City, Nebraska. Section 6, Township 28 North, Range 9 East.
We've been through all the formality with Pat.
That's correct.
Bruce Davis, etc. I'll make a motion on to approve resolution 23C-004.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy. Any questions? If not, call the roll, please.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, item B, board to approve resolution 23C-005, cybersecurity policies at NIRMA's request with the guidance from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and RTI. This is a policy that I know we've been working on for quite some time. Joan was working on it before she left, and Cherie picked up the ball and put the last pieces together. So as the amendment states, RTI and also NIRMA have been involved in this, and it is a policy, as you can see, that addresses all things cybersecurity, dealing with all the issues.
Everything looks good, Kim, on that?
I wasn't involved in
that. You wasn't involved? Sheree?
That's an RTI deal.
What's that?
That's an RTI deal.
Okay.
Yeah, Joan had worked on it for quite some time in collaboration with those higher-up people, Homeland Security,
yep.
RTI, and
and it was a request from NIRMA.
Division, Secretary of State, and NIRMA has added this to their insurance policy now.
Oh, okay.
So when we renew our insurance policy, NIRMA has added.
So you got to have
this. This is a question as do we have cybersecurity?
Then they gave us guidance on what they wanted.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great.
Okay, I'll make a motion on the resolution for the cybersecurity policies with NIRMA, resolution number 23C-005. That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Scott, seconded by Marty to approve. Call the roll, please. Cherie?
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on then. Item C, Ron Rapp, Robert Rapp, I'm sorry, Don Faber, and Matt Wallenberger are all here.
I wish Ron was here.
I say that every time, don't I?
Not that I don't, you know, you, but...
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I miss you.
Well, they're both good guys.
Yeah. Ron's a little better, but that's...
to present...
Touche.
Robert Rapp is here to present the board the 2023 Group Health Plan and Dental Plan Reports.
Went down a little bit, I heard it.
And...
Only good news. Down in flames.
Renewal options available for March 1st, 2023, and other plan year options as applicable. Requesting the board approval of the group health plan and dental plan renewals, including the group health plan reinsurance stop loss contract. So I'll turn it over to you gentlemen and take it away.
Thank you to commissioners. And we're here again. I think everybody knows Don, and as most of you probably know Matt. He is our third-party administrator from Omaha with MidAmerican Benefits. He has got all the numbers to talk about the renewal for 2023, and they're in your packets. And like I said, I'll let you take it from here because he's much smarter about this stuff than I am.
Thanks, Robert. Good afternoon, everybody. The packet that Robert handed out, there's some reports on the left, meat and potatoes on the right, the renewal, et cetera. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of the reporting. I'll just make a couple of comments, highlight it, and I'll be respectful of your time, and we'll move over to the right side. Year over year, one of the pages in your report package, you'll note you spent about $1,350,000 on your plan.
On this side or the other?
To date. It's on the left side.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's to date through 11 months. And last year we were about $1.1 million, so a little over $200,000 higher all in total plan cost this year compared to last year, still 1 month to go. Even though with those challenges and increases this year, under your self-funded group health plan, you're still about $170,000 to the good under your reinsurance contract. So positive balance from the self-funded perspective, and regarding that you've done that for many, many years, and when you have positive claim experience, you get to participate in that versus some of the other alternative programs that are available out there.
Matt, can I jump in and ask you then, so the $175,000 that you said, mm-hmm. To the good, so if we would have had a full policy,
fully insured. Fully insured.
Fully insured. We would have spent $175,000 more.
Yes.
If
effectively,
we had,
yeah. If we're looking at apples to apples, and we make a comparison of 2 points of your self-funded plan and say an all-in plan cost. Or a premium equivalent, that's the mm-hmm. terminology often used, a premium equivalent to a fully insured plan, that $175,000 would have been retained by the insurance carrier versus Dakota County keeping that from the positive claim experience. Okay. Even though you spent more year over year, under your contract terms and the reinsurance caps and limits that are in place, mm-hmm. you are under those caps. To that amount of money, and that, in a nutshell, that's why you self-insure or mm-hmm. self-fund, so that you can participate in those favorable claim experiences over time.
Because otherwise, the premiums would have been higher, and we once we pay those premiums, they're gone. We don't ever get those back. So our plan that we have is a more fiscally responsible. And in how many years have we not?
Since 2005, you've never hit max.
So never hit max.
That's pretty good track record.
Yeah. So if we would have been fully funded,
fully insured,
had a fully insured plan.
Thank you. We wouldn't have had years like that in the past. Plus the premiums are. Who knows what they would be? right?
Yeah, and premium increases are on the total program, you know, versus you have elements of your fixed and variable cost, mm-hmm. claims, experience, et cetera, and so you get to participate in those. Yeah. If you look over, you know, a period of time, obviously you're going to have ebbs and flows, but consistently, as Don said, you're ahead of the game by being in a self-insured environment, and that's one of the major philosophies or concepts about doing that and having a self-funded program versus other alternatives or a fully insured program where you shift all of the risk, pay all the premiums, they keep the reserves, you know, in good years, they have offset in poor years, et cetera, but you get to participate in that. And I think history would say, I don't have all that historical data, but some of you have been around, Don's team, been around where that's been a favorable endeavor and a good decision fiscally and you know, from a fiduciary capacity, et cetera, for the county.
And I apologize for throwing you off track there on you, on your so
no, good it's all relevant. Yeah.
Where you go ahead, wherever you're at on your explanation of where we're
at. I'm going to cut right to the chase and go to the right page or the right side of
let's get to the nuts and bolts
here. If you're looking for a decrease, unfortunately, mm-hmm. That's not what we have. I did want to let you know that I think Robert and Don shared with you some of their marketing pursuits, etc. We went out to approximately 25 reinsurance carriers in the marketplace. We got declines on 22 of them. We received a quote from the incumbent and two others. The other two were significantly higher in several aspects of the opportunity for the renewal this year. So I'm presenting to you one quote that happens to be through the incumbent carrier. U.S. Benefits is the managing general underwriter. That just means the folks that put together all the calculations, they review all the medical data and assess and evaluate the risk.
And that's for the reinsurance portion or the entire portion?
That's for the reinsurance portion.
Right. Yep.
Yep, so there's several different components to your self-funded plan, and that's what I'm going to touch on. American National is actually the reinsurance carrier. They're the ones that are filed with the state, issue the policy, and ultimately pay the claims. So if you take that first page, we'll play a little healthcare bingo, if you will. So this is and there's letters across the top, numbers down the side. Column A is the descriptions of the respective components of your self-funded group health plan. Column C is the enrollment counts down on lines 20 through 23. Column G is your current program. Column J is your renewal on an apples-to-apples basis. And then column K and L, we're requested to look at some alternative periods as it relates to a potential alternative year-end date or fiscal date, more directly to get to like a July 1st renewal. So if we come down column G, I'll go through the terms. And again, please ask questions, raise hand, interrupt me, and I'll be happy to explain in greater depth any or all of these items at your discretion. Line 11 is the specific contract. So that is our catastrophic reinsurance coverage. And we buy a contract that has a term that is specific 12/18. The number 12 in that equation stands for the incurred period, and that means when claims actually take place or when your plan participants have services provided. And that is during the 12-month period, March 1st through February 28th or 29th in a corresponding year. Okay, so we have a year-long incurred period. The second number in that equation, the 18, is the period of time we have available to have claims come in through the system, get adjudicated, paid, and also reimbursed by the reinsurance carrier. And you'll note that it is an additional 6 months. So it takes us through that same incurred period, March through February, but also then affords additional liability protection by giving us time frames of March through August to have all those claims processed, adjudicated, and paid and reimbursed by the reinsurance carrier. Best way for me to describe that for you, let's say you get to the end of February, you had a catastrophic claim. It takes 45 to 60 days to come through the system. It's $500,000. That claim is going to get adjudicated, processed, and paid before that August deadline, and you would subsequently get reimbursed appropriately by the reinsurance carrier for that claim. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody with me? Again, it's the feature of the self-funding risk management and the contract specifics. On line 12 is the coverage, and again, this is just terminology. It's medical and RX that is covered under your group health plan and is reinsured through the self-funded program. The specific attachment on line 13 is $60,000. What that means, the county assumes a $60,000 deductible or liability attachment point on every covered participant under your plan, employees, spouses, and dependent children. After the $60,000 level, I'll just jump right down to line 14. There's another risk management tool that's called an aggregating specific. The county also assumes a $30,000 liability that could be on one individual person or it could be accumulation of multiple people. And that is a finite number, a $30,000. Once the county pays the $30,000 on a particular claimant or multiple claimants, that mechanism is fulfilled and there's no further liability. Matt, how does that work? I'm on your plan. I have a $90,000 claim. The county would pay $60,000 of that claim as you ordinarily would on every covered person. And then you would also pay the $30,000 aggregating specific on my behalf. The three of us have $70,000 in claims. You would pay that same $60,000 on each one of us, and also then there'd be $10,000 of liability paid to get us to the 30. Why do we use that tool? You get a direct dollar-for-dollar write-off of premium for that $30,000. What does that mean? That means that in the event we weren't utilizing that risk management tool, the premiums paid to the reinsurance carrier would be $30,000 higher. So it's another opportunity to shift risk out of direct premium payments to the insurance company, and you get to participate in the variable aspect of claims. If you don't have those claims, it's money you keep in your pocket on behalf of the county. Lines 15 through 18, the term laser is used in this capacity. What that essentially is an individual risk assessment based on participants on your plan that have known ongoing conditions. And instead of, again, paying direct premium to the insurance company or an insurance company and removing all of that risk, we are participating in risk based on the assessment of the underwriting on those individual folks. So, quickly, instead of them having a $60,000 liability, like all of the rest of the participants, they would have the corresponding liabilities on lines 15 through 17. And then on line 18, we sum that all together and give the corresponding liability. A point of reference on that, some of you may be doing some quick math. We always take out the first $60,000. Of that designated assessment because the county is already assuming that liability. Okay, so if you did the math, example column G, if you would add the $275,000 and the $155,000, that'd be $420,000, I believe, and we take out then $60,000 for each of those participants, that effectively brings us down to the $310,000 amount. Okay, so that's the change in the liability. Again, the rationale and the risk management tool component is that you're participating in variable claim liability versus sending premium to the insurance carrier and shifting the risk. Anytime that you shift the risk completely to an insurance entity, you don't have any opportunity to participate in positive claim attributes and effectively lower your cost in that capacity. On lines 21 and 22 are the specific premiums charged for those components of single coverage and family coverage. The specific contract is your catastrophic claim protection. Essentially, if someone has a million or $10 million claim, your risk is $60,000 plus the $30,000 of aggregating specific and the potential laser on certain identified individuals. A point of reference regarding the underwriting on those individual risk assessments, those have no impact whatsoever on any of your plan participants. That is done completely behind the scenes. It's a financial mechanism of the reinsurance contract and the underwriting. Every participant on your plan has exactly the same benefits, same deductibles, coinsurance, out-of-pockets, co-payments, etc. This is merely the financial aspect and the risk management tools of your self-funded group health plan.
So the fact that the amount that that it steps up isn't based on the fact if we have lasers, if we don't, because those are handed separately, or are they all part of that same policy?
Yep, they all fit within the same policy. It's just the identification. Say I'm one of those people and I have 200,000 in claims and I'm the laser number one, you're going to pay all of that $200,000 as part of the liability. But to me, your plan participants, this is all the financing piece of it. You go out with the rates, your corresponding premium withholdings, and then everybody has the same plan of benefits. Okay. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you do. Okay. No, I got another one, but I don't have it for them completely.
Yep, no, that's great. Yeah. And when it comes to you, let me know right away. I'm going to start going back and forth between G and the renewal. Now I'll go back up to line 15 and the changes in the laser assessments. You can see that we have ongoing risk. One individual, that assessment has gone up based on the conditions, the longevity, the prognosis of that particular situation. Laser number two correspondingly went down because of the management of the condition, et cetera. And then we had a new person that has a condition that's going to be ongoing and assessed at a particular risk level for this renewal. All in, the laser liability is moving from $310,000 to $680,000. Sizable amount. The underwriting component is complete. Continuing down, now we start doing some straight line math. So we take the individual rating components of each of the current year and the renewal. We multiply it by the single covered units and the family covered units to arrive at our monthly premium cost and our annualized premium cost. And so you can see on line 25 that the corresponding premium is going up a little under $70,000. For this renewal opportunity. Back to the reporting, again, there's information out there, but the premiums that you've paid to the reinsurance carrier have not covered the payments that they've made on your behalf. In the prior year, if I recall, we paid about $328,000 in premium, and the reinsurance carrier paid about $455,000. We're going to pay about a similar amount this year through year end, again, somewhere in that $330,000, and they paid over $400,000 on your behalf. That's also another reason why we didn't get many offers on a going forward basis. For 1 year history, hasn't been great the last 2 years, and going forward, obviously, you can see that there's some significant risk taking place.
So the last 2 years, we paid, you know, that $340,000 range. You know, if the laser continues as it is, what would our liability be this year? If, say, on a, because you said that the insurance carrier paid, say, $450,000 and we paid $340,000 or $400,000. So we're going to assume more of that liability?
So, I want to answer your question this way. Look at line 25.
Yep.
So that increase is about $70,000. So the reinsurance carrier is asking the county for $70,000 of additional premium because they're upside down, basically 2 years in a row. That's for basically unknown risk or the future risk. Okay, so that's the premium. The laser component is built in up above. Okay, so the carrier, we know that there are ongoing risk and that there is going to be claims. And so now they are offering to the county each of those three laser components, which then in turn is liability for the county. It's not a fixed cost. You're not paying it like you are premium on line 25, but you would pay it if in the event that they have claims. And if those individuals stay on your plan, they will be having claims over the next 12 months.
So then if their claims are 560,000 this year, say our laser number one has a claim of 500, we're responsible for that first 560?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, yep. And then
I'm just looking, you know, going forward as far as budgeting, you know, you just have to make sure there's money available if that's worst case scenario.
Yep. And does. Yeah, absolutely. Great point. And I think some of it that'll come together as we continue to move down.
I'm going to quit interrupting you.
No, it's perfect because that segues into the next components of it and how it ties all together in total.
Okay.
So spot on with all of that commentary. The next section, line 28. Is the aggregate premium. So you heard me mention, we've been talking about specific coverage mostly, and that's for catastrophic claims where the county assumes the $60,000. Underneath that, the county also purchases risk protection for all of the utilization globally for claims that are under $60,000. And I like to do some quick math. So you have a lot of single participants and not a lot of families or employee spouse, et cetera. So you don't have a lot of dependents on your plan. But over the last year, you've averaged about 116 total people, belly buttons, employee spouse and dependents. If I take 116 times that $60,000 number, that's just short of $7 million. Okay, that would be an open-ended risk unless you bought an aggregate reinsurance policy. Line 28 is the premium for that policy. And you can see that the dollars, comparatively speaking, are much, much less, right? Just short of $17,000. That is the area, that's the premium paid, and Don alluded to the fact that we haven't historically maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes characterize that as sleep insurance, right? The worst case scenario, crap hits the fan, you have that coverage, and you say, well, Matt, what am I getting for that $16,800? I'm going to have you skip ahead down to line 62. J62. It puts your cap on your claims that are under $60,000. You remember that you go over 60, you pay the aggregating if it's late, then the reinsurance. And the Affordable Care Act requires an unlimited benefit for your plan participants. It could be $1 million, $5 million, $10 million. Your cap on your aggregate coverage is $1,050,000 in the renewal. So it takes a $7 million risk. You pay just short of $17,000, and it brings it down to $1 million. Everybody clear on that piece? So all those claims that don't go over 60, that's where they go. The county pays for them up to a maximum of 1,050. Now, when you only spend $800,000 in total claims for those under 60,000, that's your money. You keep that. That's one of the concepts and philosophies of self-funding. Back up to line 41 and 42, the administration cost. And a couple pages back, you don't have to go there yet, but there's details on all the line item components that add up to that. So there's our administration, Mid-American Benefits. There's PPO access fees. There's utilization review fees. There's Teladoc fees, COBRA fees, a variety of corresponding items that add up to that. I go to line 45. Total $42,000, which of the total fixed cost is just a shade over 10%, and then significantly lower of the total overall cost of your program. Keeping in mind, the fixed costs are very, very small percentage of the total of your plan, and that's intentional because you get to participate in the largest component of it, and that's your claims cost. Lines 48 and 49, add the prior lines all together and give us an all-in monthly fixed cost on line 51 and 52, going from 27.8 to 33.5. You can see about $67,000 of total fixed cost increase year over year. That line there, imaginary line, that's fixed cost. You're going to pay that whether you have one claim, no claims, or a whole bunch of claims. Okay, that's the given fixed component to have your plan put in place with reinsurance protection, administration, and the corresponding components of that. Below line 52 is the variable component. We talked a little bit about your aggregate contract. Line 55, you'll see the numbers are a little different. That's a run-in contract. So we're looking at a time period of 24 months, and then the claims come in and get paid over that 12-month period. Again, sleep insurance, if you will. We see the corresponding rates on lines 58 and 59. We do the math again, come up with that aggregate cap, if you will, or attachment point, from 981 to 1,050,000. Moving down, we add all those components up to get what we characterize as a maximum contracted cost on a per rate basis. We drop that down to line 68 and 69 to do the monthly and the annual. And that number on line 69, going from 1,316,000 to 1,453,000, is a 10% contract over contract increase. Now, I can't stop there. I've got to take you down one more line to 72 to give you the all-in worst-case scenario. What we add to the line 69 is that $30,000 aggregating specific that we talked about in line 14 and the laser liability on line 18. So that number on line 72, all-in worst-case scenario, which, by the way, has never happened. I say that it can't. Mm-hmm. Now, part of our obligation is to show you historical risk, all in worst case, max cost risk, and kind of all the variable components within the self-funding program. Questions about that? And
Should we be surprised 10%?
10%? Here's how I'd characterize it. Robert and Don and I talked a lot about this, and we see it. So medical inflation is somewhere between 7 and 12. So I would characterize 10 pretty much as inflationary trend, et cetera. Prescription drug inflation is more that 12 to 18% range. So I think we're bucking it. I would say we're in the middle or to the lower side of the trend. The other piece of the puzzle, I'll give you a quick analogy. You'll notice that up on line 13, I'm doing apples to apples at the $60,000 level. If you recall, last year we were at 50, and we moved up a tier. One, because we're, again, having a challenging year, and sometimes it's a good time to move up. The other, your enrollment population has been staying rather consistent over time. And inflation comes into play. So if just for me to do simple math, if you have a 10% medical inflation rate in general and you have a $60,000 claim, next year that claim is going to be $66,000. And if you leave the $60,000 in place, which is okay, this is just a discussion to have and a review, the reinsurance carrier is going to pick up the $6,000. Mathematically. And so the 10, the 7, the 12, etc., you could probably anticipate, unless you had a stellar year of claims wise, that you could see a trend increase year over year. Now, you have the opportunity, one of the pages in here, the following page, shows the renewal apples to apples and then gives you some options if we put it in there. Scott, are you on page 3 or did you just turn one page? Yeah, go back one page for me. Is it 2 with yellows?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You see there's a 65 and a 70 option?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through those right now, but what happens is when you take more risk, that $5,000, you get premium reduction. Take a quick look at line 25 on page 2. You see how it goes from 343 to 324? So essentially you get about $19,000 premium reduction,
yeah,
but you're taking an additional $5,000 risk on everybody. So that's the dynamics. But so if I may, I'm going to pause for just a second and let you digest. And then I want to stay on the first page because part of what we were asked to do is look at kind of some different contract terms as it relates to potentially getting you to align with your fiscal year that happens in July. First of all, doing short periods, which I didn't even present on here, is because it's really challenging and you don't get very much bang for your buck. And the reason is, if you think about it, the contracts are set up to be on a 12-month basis, and you would now be short renewing in 4 months, and you would get any trend increases, inflation increases, premium increases in 4 months instead of 12. Secondarily, your laser assessments would still be full laser assessments, even for that short period. So these numbers on here, 560, 125, because that claim can happen from day one through day 365. And so then also the whole short period concept makes it very, very challenging to do that, but also the numbers just don't align very well. And the reinsurance community would really prefer to look at a longer period than a shorter period.
As much as it makes sense for us to want to do that, it does not make sense on paper,
correct,
for us to do that.
The bang for your buck, I mean, logistically, operationally, all of those components, even the going to the long period, you're affected. I tried to come up with a term for it, and prepay isn't the right term because you think prepay, you buy something and say, hey, I get a discount. I pay it all up front right now. In columns K and L, you effectively are prepaying and extending that period, but the additional cost to do that doesn't make a lot of sense unless it's really, really valuable for you, both financially, operationally, fiscally, et cetera, to get it to that alternative period. Now, maybe in a year, you know, because you can see some of the highlights with the laser assessments, how they went up pretty dramatically. The premium goes up correspondingly. Maybe in future periods when you're having a stellar year,
Then we can look at that option.
Yeah, that would be the
your
time
claim,
to do it.
The claims history, yeah.
Right now, there's an exponential impact. The dialogue I had with the underwriter, 4 months out is 33% of your contract, and essentially you're seeing that being represented in the extension of the time frame. Here's a couple things to consider, and I appreciate you kind of going that direction, Scott. And you guys direct me, all of you, if you want details. But that $60,000. Then from the reinsurance perspective, goes out another 4 months, right? So they charge you more premium. The laser, again, you have another 4 months of incurred period, and so that's why the corresponding increases take place for those components. Conversely, on the short period, claims are claims, and they could happen day one at those same cost levels. So you don't get hardly any value for doing a short period.
So basically, we need to write another year out and see where we're at, claims, the so-called stellar year, and see if it'll work something with our budget fiscal year for next year.
I would say if the goal is going to continue to be, which I'm sure it always will, to get on the fiscal year,
well, we'd like to.
Do it. We would go through this process every year. I mean, if we're having another challenging year, I could probably anticipate what it's going to look like. But, you know, the one thing about laser as a variable part of your contract In the event that that risk goes away, meaning you have someone leave the plan, maybe unfortunately we've seen situations where people pass, deceased from their condition, that liability, any part of that you haven't paid, immediately goes away. Right. Again, you haven't exchanged that premium dollar, if you will, so you get to participate in that. So, example, some of those dynamics take place. This looks more like it did 2 years ago from the laser piece of the puzzle. That would be probably an applicable time to review that again and see if the care. Plus, we may have more competitive offers and someone willing to take that longer 16-month period and give you a more reasonable opportunity at that time.
How can we get our RFP information in a timely manner so we could bid it out to other carriers next time?
So I can send that to you appropriately. So I'm going to qualify this. I'm going to send it to designated personnel within the county organization.
What do we need to do to get that information to you so you can send it out in a timely manner? Because this got elongated this time. You know, we just got it here just real shortly.
So who is it that you want to send it to? Because we quoted the top carriers, including Blue Cross, United.
Yeah, Zelle, we have Zelle for HR, and they're going to take care of, getting another bid for health insurance.
Why?
Because we want to bid it out to see if we're getting the best deal or not.
Well, we think you are.
Listen, there's no hard feelings or anything like that, but I'm a business guy. I bid my insurance out once in a while, and I don't see a problem with that. We're just looking out for the taxpayers and our help, you know. I would like to do that. I don't see no reason why we can't.
I guess all I'm saying, Troy, is we've been bidding it out for you to all the carriers.
And you said we couldn't get a bid from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and one of the carriers did say that they have more teeth in the game, so they could get a bid.
Well, they have a pool.
They have a pool.
They have a pool that's. And we've had that. We had them up to bid us 2 years ago, and they were over $1,100 more per employee than them. And I don't think that's probably changed, but we can sure look at it again.
I would like to look at it again because
you can look at it again.
And there was more companies out there this time that came and talked to us.
Yeah. So,
and they have more people out there.
Those are brokers.
Yeah.
Brokers. Right. Yeah. They're doing the same job. You are.
There's only so many carriers.
Every broker in the country would come talk to you. But they have to buy their insurance somewhere.
Yeah. So I want to answer your question about the dissemination of information. First of all, we have agreements in place with the county as it relates to HIPAA, privacy and security. And so there are designated personnel within Dakota County's organization that we exchange data with. And then part of those documents that are put in place protects you and protects all of us as to if we share this information with each other, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to keep it private and protect it? And so the point blank answer to your question for Zelle, if that's who you're referring to, we would encourage you all to have appropriate documentation and commitments in place on behalf of Zelle that they will protect that information if it is disseminated to them.
And they don't have it this time, is my understanding.
They don't.
You know, so if Zelle doesn't have their ducks in a row, we can't even give them the information.
Nor will we.
Yeah. Nor would we consider doing it.
So that we're fulfilling our obligation and our commitments in our agreements with you, because we execute specific documents with the county as it relates to privacy in regards to HIPAA, protected health information, security, et cetera. And so it's your information. Before we give it to you, we just want to make sure that you have the appropriate designations in place.
Sure.
So, Matt, if this plays out, then we renew a year. So, following up on Troy's question or concern down the roads, when would we, how would that look?
Yep. So
6 months from now, a year from now, if he's looking for additional input.
Great. So I'll give you the timeline. So it's currently a March 1 renewal. So we send out our initial underwriting to the 20-some plus companies at the end of the 8th month, knowing full well that that is completely preliminary, and it's really to get them the information and the start of the process. After the 9th month, we send them additional updates and information, and then depending on the underwriting review, we may be able to get a firm and final in place, which part of the dynamics here is we were able to get that cut off at the end of December, and there has not been any additional information necessary for our underwriters since then. If you take a look at some of the reports, January was not a stellar month. And so I would fully anticipate there may be some underwriting adjustments or dynamics if we crossed over into another month. So, again, following that time frame, as dissemination would be after the eighth month, after the ninth month, and then goal to get firm and final and make presentation, et cetera. In the event that there is some other underlying risk or developments, part of it, we had the disclosure form completed, right? You all, as an organization, may know before we do in some instances. Most of the time, we know before you ever know what's taking place on your plan. And so we get all of that disclosed and can continually provide that. But again, our goal, and my work with Robert and Don, is to try to get a cutoff, an underwriting completion as early as possible, be able to get that in front of all of you to then make appropriate decisions as early as possible. But so following the eighth month with appropriate documentation and at your directive and discretion, I could send you the underwriting information that we provide to our underwriters.
So 4 months before the term is...
Yeah, understanding that that's going to be your size of group, just a shade under 100 employees on the plan. Rarely is it going to get finalized before 10 months of data, but we don't want to wait that long, right? We want to start going through the process. Our goal would be to try to get it done 9 months. And that's then 90 days in advance of your renewal. I know we're only 20-some days now. We got the underwriting stopped 60 days in advance, so that's 10 months.
Just two other questions that come to mind. In the current renewal plan, is there any changes at all? We have different groups that we're working with, so our insurance can't change deductible, et cetera. Any changes at all in that? And then also, would you just comment on our deductibles versus other counties that you see? How does our insurance that we have stack up?
And I'll let these guys come, but I'm going to answer your question kind of twofold. One, you asked about deductibles and your plan design and some of those things. One, I always like to remind everybody, this is your plan, the Dakota County plan, with guidance over the years from Robert and Don, various organizations, including ourselves over the last couple years, in design elements. What I'm presenting today is apples to apples. Okay? No changes to the benefit design as it sits today, which comes into play potentially with your union negotiations, contracts, those types of things. So that preserves that sentiment. Understanding that you as an organization have complete control over the actual plan design. The caveat is if you want to make changes, and primarily changes that would potentially enhance benefits, we would definitely have to run those through underwriting and get their approval and assessment. On changes that may, say, shift some of the costs to employees and plan participants and effectively reduce the cost to the plan, we would send it through the underwriter, but typically there would be very little change, especially on the catastrophic side of things. You know, say you change the copayment from $10 to $30. That's not going to move the needle a whole lot. It is a benefit change. I would anticipate virtually no change in the rating. I would save the county some money, right, because you're shifting the cost.
So for a single in the new proposal, what is the cost monthly? What is the annual cost or the biweekly or?
So on this proposal,
yep.
Go down the line 65 and 66 with a caveat or an asterisk. Okay, so those are tiered rates that get us to line 69. Okay, so that's why, yep. I put the caveat or the asterisk. If you want to get to $2,163,000, we would have to allocate that additional almost $700,000 of risk between the singles and the families. I don't immediately have that calculation available. I'm just looking.
But down here, say line 81, the expected cause singles.
Well, okay, if I may, I want to explain that just a little bit. Go back up to line 79.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see where it says expected claims at 840.
Yep.
Now go up to line 62. We've talked about that number, 1,050. That expected is an underwriting and actuarial calculation. It's basically 80% of the contracted rate. Year over year, last year you ended at about 92.3%. This year you're running about 82%. So you're in that 80% range, and that's where you're saving your money by being self-funded.
Mm-hmm.
So this expected number for aggregate claims under $60,000, has been pretty accurate over time. To Don's point, you know, you've never gone over the max, and there's probably been years when you've had a 60% loss ratio. What these numbers on line 81 and 82 do not include is that liability for the aggregating specific and the laser. Okay, so if you wanted to look at a rate over rate,
mm-hmm.
let me give you a ballpark here. If you recall, on line 72, I know I'm talking fast, the $1,656,000 to the $2,163,000 is 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'm just going to do some math.
Okay.
I'm going to take line 65, $953. Does that make sense? That's a single rate, 953 times 1.3, 30%. That's $1,240 rounding. So as an example, if you wanted to budget or develop a worst case max cost premium equivalent number, $1,240 would be the number you could potentially use. Now, I would say the government, meaning HHS, is who has purview over non-federal government plans, counties. Sort of, it's not ERISA, but it's like ERISA. They would probably tell you shouldn't book those maximum amounts because you've never had those experiences before. But did the math, the equation make sense? Yeah. What I just did to kind of, if we then took this number times the 77 employees and we did the same thing with the family and took it times the 13, we should arrive at the $2,163,000. The part of your decision as a board, in my opinion, is to understand what the total risk is and then decide what your premium equivalent rates should be. And, you know, that might be part of your budget process, all of those components.
If, and later on down the line, if I email you a page with a bunch of conflicting stop-loss policy conflicts and some stuff like that, and I don't know a ton about this, but is there any possible way if I email this to you, you could stop back at a meeting or two and just explain everything here and kind of clean that up for us or tell us what you think?
Sure. Is there dealing with some contract terms?
Oh, like plan document points? conflicts with stop policy. I have a page of stuff here.
We got. No, absolutely.
That'd be great if you would do that.
Yeah.
Explain it all to us and just why, what's what.
You bet. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, are you done with us then down there? Because you're starting to bore us.
Yeah. So what about
being, just being honest. I
got my tennies on.
Yeah, no, we got it.
I'm just being honest with you.
Yep. What about the benefits?
Oh, your benefits are within the top 10%, probably 5% of industry, of businesses, governments. In fact, we see the most benefits from taxpayers, cities, counties, schools.
Yeah.
That's where you get the richest benefits. But yours are right up at the top. You cannot buy from Blue Cross, for example, a plan like you've got. Their CAMs are much higher, and their their out-of-pocket maximums are much higher than the two times the deductibles anymore, because that's the way the government through their Affordable Care Act has been bumped.
We kind of went through this at the LEC, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, it's what you have, you can't buy. Okay? So you're going to have to either somehow or another, if you want to go with fully insured, there's several things we have to talk about. Number one is, you terminate your contract, you still have run out. That's what that what Matt described yeah. about. You don't have any protection. Number two, you're going to have to get your employees to take a canned plan, because they're not going to match what you have right now. And number three, the rates are going to be very high, and you're not going to get any money back.
Because you went, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, et cetera, but you guys looked at 20-some different,
yeah.
and they denied them all, and then there was, yeah. and then there was three. The incumbent took it on. Two other ones were high.
Yep. Yeah. So, example, I recall one immediately is the reinsurance amount, the specific on line 25, was over $500,000.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you brought that up. U.S. Benefits and American National, they're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, they've been upside down 2 years in a row. Some groups that say, I'll just price you out and you'll go somewhere else.
Yep.
They're willing, with the laser components, to stay with you. And hopefully over time, this turns back around and then they'll be at even, et cetera.
They're going to try to get some monies back.
Yeah.
I get it.
They're one of our top companies. Yep. Yeah, we go to...
And like you said, their actuaries kind of put the numbers together.
Yep, that's who does it. Does it. They have formal...
My son's one of them.
Yeah.
He's... smartest dumb kid I know. True story. I mean, they're just, yeah. I get it.
But when we talk about shopping insurance, the reality is we're shopping to find somebody that will insure us, because that's the situation we're in right now.
Yeah, you've had a two, three bad years, yeah.
Yeah, 28 carriers altogether is what we looked at.
Yeah,
and I know Robert and Don doing their diligence for you all as brokers and consultants. You know, they shared with me, hey, their companies, and they come back no quote. You know, and the majority of time, when I send the first one out, you know, about 3/4 of them come back immediately and say, hey, we don't want anything to do with this risk. We don't have any opportunity to be profitable. You know, and in the stop loss world. Think of it this way, this premium at $350,000, they're at about, if they have a loss ratio that's 80 to 82% or less, they're breaking even and then making money. But they have about 18 points in just their administration. They have to pay fees to the state of Nebraska for policy issuance, all that stuff. So even though you pay them $350,000, that's not what they would consider they have to pay claims, et cetera. But you're talking about plan design. Your co-payments, you know, $30 office visit co-payment. We're seeing that at $45 and $50. And then there's implementation of specialist visits, which are $60 to $75. Your prescription drugs at $10.
For generic?
Generic is $10,
$25, well, $45. I don't mean to interrupt, but I recall back in the day, our deductible was like $250.
Right.
And I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. You know, then we, of course, with the unions, contracts, et cetera.
Stair-stepped it. Yep.
We stair-stepped it up. And I don't know what's
up. It's
$1,500. I think individual. We were at our max of what we did with contracts and what we said we were going to do.
And here's the one that sets you apart more so than that deductible level at $1,500. That might be moderately common, although we're seeing it a lot higher with ACA plans there. But you're out of pocket at is $2,500. It's 80-20 up on the next $1,000. Right. And we're regularly seeing that at $4,000 to $8,000 on plans.
That's crazy.
And the philosophy, again, I got to put my shoes on and get out of here because you want me to leave.
No. I'm just...
But the allocation...
I'm going to wise ass a little bit, but it's good information.
Yeah, it's the allocation. So when you have higher claims, if that out-of-pocket is on an 80-20 share, then people are participating in that longer as far as conceptual as to what's going on. But, yes, we do a lot of county clients, and yours is right there, if not better, than a lot of them.
Well, it makes it feel a little bit better.
Especially because you're also paying no premium for all. You're single. I mean,
you're picking up.
Yeah, you're picking that.
Is that uncommon in this day and age?
Yes. So I mean, globally, absolutely, for public sector employers, not as much, but I'm counties across the board, 80-20 across the board. You're paying 100% employee. You pay different on the family part. I get that. But 100% employee paid, two clients, yours and one other.
Speaking from the school board's point of view, their singles have to pay, you know, just the single person has to pay more than they actually, we don't pay all the single rate anymore. Used to, not anymore. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So Rob and Don, what are we looking at for time frame if we want to get a renewal in? I mean, it's time. Yeah.
Today.
Today, yeah. Are these the numbers? Yeah. We have the numbers on this sheet are
Gold's
the solid. Firm final.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
That's why we had you sign that to stop the underwriting. So if you don't approve it today, the underwriting goes on, and your last month wasn't really good. So
basically, if we wanted to do like an 80-20, and this might be a dumb question.
You are at 80-20 right now.
Right.
But oh, you mean on the premium
on the cost
side of it?
Yeah. Yes.
That's internal. That's entirely.
Yeah. That's completely. That's the union negotiations.
Union negotiations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you should involve all your employees in it to negotiate it out properly.
Well, we just need to get, like you said, there's us and another county. I mean, you want to do the best you possibly can, but at the same time, you still got to make things cash flow and work. You know, what's best for everyone.
Okay. Hey, well, after all that information, I would be willing to make a motion to accept the insurance for the year going forward with the as is. I understand it's an increase, which it's been almost every year I've been around here, and you hate to see that, but like I say, I just spent $7 for a dozen eggs, so I mean, and the inflation is real.
I was going to bring it up. You brought up
inflation.
Okay.
Real in your business, just like every other business, and hopefully that kind of evens out too. So I would make that motion.
The 12-month money?
Yeah, on the 12-month. I'd like to switch it around, but it's like Scott said, it just doesn't make sense.
It's so cash flow.
But there's always next year.
Motion. Thanks, guys. Motion by Marty, seconded by Brian, to approve a 12-month.
Thanks for your hard work and all your research you've done for us. And listen, I know.
And I think going forward through this year, we'll probably want to hear from you a few times, just kind of get a feel on what's going on and how things are going for us. So
absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Appreciate your business.
Thank you. Call the roll.
Thanks, guys.
Call the roll, please.
And I was kidding about just getting you out of here.
No, it wasn't.
These are Maxwell's smart sneakers.
We're proud now.
Everybody else in here was open.
I was looking at everybody behind rolling their eyes. That's why I did that.
They're walking us out. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, moving down right along then to item D, Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent, to present her findings and a recommendation for the vacation of public road described as starting at the east end of 230th Street of west of Ann Avenue, then going west, approximately half mile between Section 9, Township 27 North, Range 7, Parcel 22008-8594, and Section 4, Township 27 North, Range 7, Parcel 22009-0599, Dakota County, Nebraska.
Can we get this done? What are we doing
I will do this as fast as I can.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that we've looked at this several times.
No, this is a new
this
one.
This is a different one.
Well, this is a different one. Anderson. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Where is this located?
230th Street, west of N Avenue.
You can have this, Mike.
And Nancy. So, only as you can see, there's only one landowner around there. I checked with utilities. There's no utilities in there, so we don't have to worry about that. It just goes back into his field and dead ends after about a half a mile. And he is wanting to close that so he can just farm it. He's the only one that uses it, so I don't see any reason why that can't happen. Kind of help reduce the liability for the county. Keep kids from going back there, driving around, tearing stuff up. So minimum maintenance road. My recommendation is to vacate the road and relinquish the right-of-way back to the adjacent landowner.
Okay. Any other questions on that for Jolene?
Nope.
Let's do it, huh?
Okay.
I'll make a motion exactly what you said.
And I'll second the motion exactly what he said about her saying.
Okay. motion to approve Scott and Brian. Call the roll, please, Cherie.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Troy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes. Okay, item E, approve resolution 23C-006 to set date and time for public hearing to vacate or abandon road starting at east end of 230th Street of west of N Avenue, then going approximately west 1/2 mile between Section 9, Township 27N, Range 7, Parcel 220088594, and Section 4, Township 27N, Range 7, Parcel 220090599. Dakota County, Nebraska.
What's the time frame? 2 weeks?
That one I have here, yes, for March 6th hearing at 3:01.
Okay, so we have a resolution of 23C-006, is that correct?
That's right, just to approve the time and date.
Okay, so should we... Will it be first on the agenda, or what will we do? Or just say 3:01, or what?
3:01.
3:01 for March 6th of 2023 for a hearing?
Right.
Okay, let's do that, shall we?
Okay, that's your motion?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Second.
Seconded by Brian. Call the roll, please.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Moving on to item F, Dan Alexander, Midwest Engineering, Inc., presenting contract for the bridge deck repair on the Homer Bridge and Jackson North Bluff Road Bridge, and asking for approval of chair to sign.
Afternoon to the board. Dan Alexander, like I said, Midwest Engineering. Got with Jolene after bridge inspections last year. If anybody recognizes me, that's where you've seen my face before. Looking at the Jackson Bridge and Homer Bridge and some possible solutions for what we can do with the deck repairs there. The county has been doing a few things, looking at what else we can do. So I wrote a scope and project description to Jolene and with a fee estimate to get that ball rolling. I don't have any copies of that. Hopefully you guys do. But there's some pictures of both of those structures. You'll have to pass them around. So there's some moderate to severe spalling, especially on the Jackson structure, which is a single span steel girder. Typically, when we move through these as an engineering contract, we begin with a field visit, deterioration analysis, and measurement. So we're really trying to get specific on what's wrong, how much of it is bad, and then we try to measure and scale that so that we can put a price to it, right? What's it going to cost to actually repair this bridge? So that's part of the project scope. Additionally, then, would be a summary report and engineer's estimate. Given what may be wrong with that structure, maybe it's the deck, maybe it's your bridge railings, maybe some steel girders need to be washed and painted underneath, etc. We all sit down, look at the budget, or perhaps just Jolene and I, and then she makes a recommendation to the board with those numbers in mind, and then we move forward from there. Right now it's difficult to just say, okay, go do it, when we don't know what the price may be.
Okay, obviously the Homer Bridge is the main bridge going into town.
Correct.
Where's this Jackson one at?
The Jackson one is the Hubbard Road,
just
off the west side of town.
Oh, okay, the one going over.
Yeah,
over.
We're yeah,
going,
there.
Going out on, then the railroad tracks on the other side,
yeah,
right?
On
right,
the pavement.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So typically that would be one step is to get to a summary and report to highway superintendent and eventually the board to see how we want to move forward. Do we want to take these things to completions? Maybe it's just one of them. Maybe it's the other. Maybe we do certain things on one and not certain things on there that we can live with, et cetera. And that would all come with that recommendation report. After that, the deliverable would be a plan set with specs. We go out to bid on that contract.
So. Okay. You're on the agenda for next time around as well, correct?
Correct. Next, in 2 weeks, is the bridge inspections for 2023.
Okay. Yep. And obviously, there's more than we don't know, but this is being bidded out.
No.
No?
No, this is getting to the point to approve his fee to go ahead and get it, the specs, and get it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, and we're a fresh company. You guys haven't worked with us a lot. We're trying to build a relationship. So the way I wrote the proposal up with Jolene was a not-to-exceed amount of $18,000.
I see that here.
That gives us some maneuverability as we move through these projects to look at it, make a recommendation. Maybe we don't even get to plan the specs. It's out of the budget, et cetera. Or maybe we move forward with both of those. But it kind of sets a budgetary number for Jolene and the board to approve.
But we have enough bridge problems throughout the county right now, which, I mean, we probably very easily could spend all of our ARPA money right now with all the bridges and different things. But
Lebanon.
I'm sure, right? But the point is these two bridges here that we're looking at are
primary important bridges.
Yeah, okay. They are very heavily populated bridges.
Yep.
Okay, I was out on the Jackson Bridge today. I was working on the area, so I went to take a look at it again. Okay, so there's a half a dozen of the potholes along the east side and a little bit on. What is the customary fix to something that I know you don't know until you get into it and you do your testing?
Yeah.
So did they go and they jackhammer out around the existing structure, the steel structure in there, and re-pour, or do they cut? Is it?
Yeah, when we'll make plan sets with unit prices for different amounts of deterioration, and that's what we'll go measure out, and we'll give you guys an engineer's estimate based on that before we go out to plan with the contractors. And once we move past that, we have that unit price set. Everything is actually paid for from the field work that's actually done. So we'll set a price for 1 to 2 inches of DLAM that's removed and replaced, moderate that might be half the deck or less, and full depth reclamations. So we set unit prices on that from the contractor, accept the bid, and then when we actually go out and fix it, that's what we pay for. But in order for us to know what's out there, what do we think it's going to cost, we have to put together the report. That information is eventually put on the plan set that we give to the contractor.
Do you normally work in any areas that aren't delaminated now? There's some hairlines, cracks, and stuff through there. But
and usually that's just the ceiling.
Yeah.
So we'll do some delams, and we might catch a few cracks on there that we just seal at this time. Yep.
Okay.
So again, the $18,000, I would expect that to be on the higher end. That just gives us approval to move through it hourly. $18,000 should be only if we moved all the way through both structures, and even then I don't see that happening, but just kind of a good place for us to set expectations moving forward.
You got to have a number on there, and you're trying to get your foot in the door, so I'm sure you're not gonna put it to us.
No, don't plan to.
Yeah.
All right, so what we're doing is we're approving up to $18,000 to get it up to where the specs are ready to be sent out to contractors.
Yeah. What we would really be doing is taking a month to 6 weeks. We would go do a field visit, get more precise measurements on exactly what the problem is. We'll put those to average unit prices, bring that back to the board, and say, okay, to fix the Jackson Bridge, we think it's going to be $90,000.
Yep.
Do you want to move forward with a bid pack to take to contractors? You guys say yes, boom, we turn that around, we go out to contract. You guys say that's out of budget, it's $150,000, we can't do it right now, then we
don't want a whole new bridge, we just want that one fixed up.
Right, yeah. So
okay,
that's kind of part of the process, and why the not to exceed is probably the right way to move through this.
Sure. What do you want
to
do,
Mark? I'd say let's make a motion to do that, and then we can take a look at it each step and decide what we're going to do after.
Be gentle.
Yeah, we will be.
Mm-hmm. So I'd make a motion that we go ahead and approve it up to $18,000 to have the engineer. Sure.
Okay, motion by Marty, seconded by Brian to approve up to the 18. Call the roll, please. Sharif.
Yes.
Bob.
All right, thanks, Dan. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Appreciate it, man, all right?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes, yes, yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay,
motion
carried. Item 4 under old business and miscellaneous. Item A, board to approve planning and zoning memberships. One appointment of the following geographical areas: rural Dakota City, rural Emerson, rural Willis, for 3-year term February 2023 to February 2026. I have Gordon Hagee as one, and I have Steve Bowl as one, and I have.
No.
Martin.
Hanson.
Rohde.
Oh, and Martin Rohde.
and also Steve Lieber. So the four.
Well, there is a fourth one, but he's not in the geographical area.
That needs one.
Right.
Okay.
So we have one to replace the three that are leaving. That's each right. of the three parts of the county that aren't going to be represented. So.
Right.
Who's which? Who's in which?
Martin Rohde is for rural Emerson. Gordon Hagee is rural Dakota City. And Stephen Lieber is rural Willis.
Stephen Lieber?
Spelled Lieber.
Lieber.
Spelled last name.
L-I-E-B-E-R.
L-E-I-B-E-R-R.
I'll make a motion to approve the planning and zoning appointments.
Just kidding about that.
I'll second them.
Seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
All right, Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, Jolene, item B, Jolene Googles is here with her road report. Jolene?
I'll talk fast. We had 166.5 hours of overtime.
Why?
That's snow removal numbers.
Oh, yeah. You were gone.
Yeah. It was more than that, I think. I think I carried that down. Anyway, no grading, just a lot of snow removal. We did have some calls about the snow removal, some grading concerns, or cushion snow concerns. Some of them, the roads were drifting back in, and they were wanting us to go right back out and do that. But, of course, we're two people short. We had some equipment break down, but the guys all worked pretty good together and got everything opened up and widened up. They did a really good job on that. As Dan was saying, next week I'll need two board members. I don't know if Scott, Troy. We got to open bids for bridge inspections. Sheree, do you remember what they all were? The bridge inspections, gravel bids, and there was one other thing. And then we will present them at the next board meeting. Present those findings.
Okay, so we need to meet. Troy and I will need to meet out
here.
We'll meet here
at 1 o'clock on the 15th.
Is that the meeting?
Well, that's when we'll open all the bids. It'll okay. be Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
Wednesday at one.
Okay, shoot me a text, all right? Let me okay. remind me of that.
And somebody.
Then, just being honest,
I do have an issue with a member of public that keeps driving through our yard. He was asked not to. He continues to. Norma told me to call the sheriff.
Absolutely.
Is that a step we are willing to take and stand behind, or just try and have more conversations?
Okay, so
we can't have people driving around. Could bring in and backing into somebody. We're out there working.
I think we know who that person is.
We do.
Okay, so I mean, it's to me, it's a touchy issue, and somebody can answer this for me. You got an attorney, you got a sheriff, you got people here, but it says right there. The sign out front, okay? If they want to pull into the lot, they can go right to the office, correct? Mm-hmm. And then conduct their business and then leave and then say, see you later. Not driving around, looking at everything. Is that kind of what the sign says?
Yes, it says okay. All visitors report to the office.
Right, and that visitor is not reporting to the office.
Yeah. And he's trespassing.
About three, four times a day.
Yeah, so then we get an issue.
Yeah.
He's trespassing. The sheriff needs to handle that.
Okay.
We'll have a talk.
All right.
You got my number here.
That's okay. How it has to be handled.
I really didn't want to take
that issue. Is it a county property?
Well, that's what I mean. This because public property.
For safety purposes, they don't want them back there.
But it's still got to have a law that pertains to that. But it's
we don't have anything to charge.
I mean, we could
what
have.
What would it charge me?
Everybody thinking they want to drive through property. All there all the time, and then we.
I mean, if you have a sign that it says doesn't say something about government property or county property or whatever.
I agree. But
report to the office. So, yeah, you can't be driving around. Like you said, what if somebody backs in or backs into him or whatever, and then or this person, he or she or whoever it is, but it doesn't matter. I think they got to report to the office. And I'm not trying to be complicated, but you just can't be up there driving around.
What's the sign actually say?
You're going to put me on the spot.
Basically, just report to the
office.
Sure,
all visitors report to the office.
Probably have a lot to say about it.
And that was their recommendation, but we tried not to take it that far, but it doesn't seem to be working. So.
His conversation's been had with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not getting any better.
No.
Yeah, I know it's a touchy issue, believe me, I get it. But whatever NIRMA, I would think whatever the insurance company, if they're, you know, if that's what their recommendation is, and that the sign, if we got to, if we got to change the sign, whatever it says, if it doesn't say exactly, you
know,
hey.
Recommendation,
you agree with that, Kim?
Well, depends on what the sign says.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
public property, so.
Does he ever, or this person, ever interfere with the guys or anybody there or out on the road?
Not in the last couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah, the county attorney is the one that's going to would have to, you know, find out if there's a violation. Just because you don't want it to happen. I mean, there has to be a reason statutorily why you can't, but between NIRMA and the county attorney, they'll figure it out.
It's fenced in area, though, right?
Huh?
It's fenced in, right?
No.
No.
The whole thing's not fenced in?
No, no. There ain't no fence.
No fence.
Zero.
It's which a lot of counties do is have a fence around everything. So look at, contact NIRMA and find out if we need to change signing, and then...
Yeah, because with what I have heard, there's not enough to meet trespassing.
Okay.
At least not criminally on our side of it.
So
it's not a private piece of property.
What if the guys are all working on stuff, and then they back into them or something? So that's where NIRMA's saying... He needs to not be there. And granted, the guys need to be aware of what's going on around them, but sometimes you get busy working on something and it gets a little spooky. But I'll contact NIRMA about what we need to do with changing signs and then talk to you some more. Hopefully I won't have to talk to Chris.
Okay.
Any other questions?
One other thing, I had stopped down and looked at the building in Homer. The shed, they're having some trouble with the roof leaking. They had it in the past, and then, you know, it was so dry last summer, you know, there really wasn't. It's one of those deals that only leaks when it's raining, and it didn't rain. So anyway, it's a fairly nice building. It's heated, it's foam insulated walls and ceiling, but it's a wood structure, and it's got wood purlins that go across it, so the tin is connected to the wood purlins. Well, it's leaking around. Originally it was nailed, and those washers wear out over 40, 50 years, whatever it's been. So they went up and they replaced some of them with the screws, and now it's fine, but they also found some areas where it wasn't biting into the wood very good because they're starting to get some rot up in there. So I think that to protect that building, the roof is definitely something we need to get checked out. She did get some bids. It is kind of different, too, because we have half of the building and the city of Homer has half of the building. My understanding is Homer has the ground and we have the building and we have a 99-year lease for a dollar. So the question is, do we want to do our half of the building or do we want to do the whole building? I know that they did some work on the guys down there told me that they had done some work on their roof and maybe had replaced the screws. But I think that we need to for sure go forward on our half of the building at some point in the near future. We have.
And it's been a long time since I've been in it, but is there a divider?
There's a divider, yep. It's divided, so, and it's all foamed.
Yep. So our one half is divided.
Yeah, and the structure's really sound, that there's a lot of tensile strength in that foam as well as the structure, so I just hate to see it get a bunch of
water. Are they getting
water
on their side as well?
You know, I asked them. They didn't think they were getting much, but they didn't know for sure.
They don't use it much either, though.
No, they
don't.
Yeah. Okay.
I will stop at a board meeting, the next board meeting in Homer, and see if they want to split the cost.
Okay.
We'll do the whole thing.
How many estimates do you have, Marty?
We requested three. We received two back.
Okay.
From both Guarantee and John Kane. It's about $15,000 per half from John Kane, and they were about $10,000 more through Guarantee.
Do you want to give those to Troy and let him take those, or you have
to
take
them? Yeah. All right. So, okay, but let's go ahead and get that done. Look at their next meeting. Troy, you stop down there.
Yep,
me and the Homer commissioner, and talk to them, and then we'll move forward from there.
Decision probably ARPA is what I'm thinking.
Probably.
And then we also, I will stop over. We talked a little bit about the shed in Emerson, which isn't in the best shape, and just taking a look at maybe a few things we can do to improve that structure, because it seems pretty vital to keep a maintainer over there for mm-hmm. ambulances and things like that, to have somebody in case of emergency. So.
And we, if I remember right, the county didn't pay, I mean, I know it's in Thurston County, but they didn't pay much for the
yeah.
building. And it was, you didn't, yeah. you paid for what you got.
Yeah, yeah. And, it, we don't even need to make it a Taj Mahal, but no. just a good sound.
I don't think, did we ever do any windows or anything in that place to make it any better? I know that.
One of the big concerns is the wiring.
The wiring.
Yeah.
We're done, so. You hate to have it burn down a three-quarter or a $250,000 machine.
Yeah, well.
$350,000, $380,000
Yes, I mean, whatever.
All right, thanks, Jolene.
All right, thanks, Jolene.
Thanks, Jolene.
Moving on to item C, now Stephen Fault, Summit Carbon Solutions, Rob Latimer, and Ben Fuller will provide a brief update on the Summit Carbon Solutions
yes,
project.
Brief update, Mr. Chairman. Robert Latimer from Summit Carbon Solutions and Ben Fuller here. I have a package of information for you guys to circulate. We'll go through that very quickly, take your questions, and the objective is just to kind of keep you as the Board of Commissioners and your staff updated as to the Summit Carbon Solutions CO2 pipeline project. You'll note there in the information package there's a map of the county that's current. There's a state map that shows the assets, the pipeline assets in Nebraska. There's a fact sheet on the land acquisition status as of February 1st. And then there's an updated pipeline fact sheet with some regulations and some other information. I'm not going to dive deep into that unless you want me to. The key points that I'll make, and Ben can jump in here and help me out on any kind of specific questions, we're still looking at a summer 2023 target date to start construction in different areas on that pipeline. You'll note on the county map there is a change from last time when we came to visit you in October. The line diameter has changed from a 12-inch to a 16-inch line. That is a change from last time. And last time we had talked about a pump station facility that was proposed in the county. That has shifted outside the county. So those are two distinct changes on our system design plan. Then the reason why an increase in line size? It's to accommodate different increased volumes that they expect of carbon dioxide to be moved. And why the shift in the pump station is just simply the hydraulics of pumping different amounts of CO2 and finding the optimum location for a pump station. Land acquisition is a stat that we always talk about. Last time in the county, we were here in October. We had talked about the mileage that we had acquired was 56% total of the overall mileage. Now we're at 69%. So we've increased our acquisition by 13% since October. We continue to work at that every single week. Visiting with landowners, taking their issues, working through them with our engineering staff, and so on.
What are you gonna do with the people that do not want your pipeline through their property?
The people that are
totally against it.
Totally against it. You continue to try and establish building a relationship with them.
There's some people you're probably not going to be able to build a relationship with from what I've been contacted by.
Understood. And so the work will continue. On other aspects of the project, trying to keep them informed of the progress, much like we keep you folks informed, and you know we'll see what shakes out in the long run. Can't, you know, people sometimes wait until the last kind of throes of the project to come to the table, right? So hard work, we'll keep working at it.
And another question, so yes. the size of the pipe, does that make a difference to planning and zoning? Does planning and zoning know that it was such and such a size and they might change the setbacks if it's a bigger size pipe? Does that have anything to affect it, or does that affect it?
That was going to be my question. Why did you guys go bigger? Is there a reason why they went
to increase a greater volume, okay. Anticipated increase of volume.
For future.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Or knowing, you know, yeah. knowing that, hey, we need a larger pipe to flow more product. The specific question on have we talked to the planning and zoning about that change?
No, I don't believe we have. No.
What else can I tell you? That's about it. There was something, last time we had talked about our community investment program, and we had talked very briefly about a possibility for the South Sioux Senior Center. And didn't we exchange some email on that? And did we ever develop anything?
I gave
Kaylee?
Yes, Kaylee. The information, and okay. I don't know if anything ever materialize. Right.
Well, I have it on my notes here. We'll circle back and see if that opportunity is. I imagine the need is still there. I would think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll circle back with Kaylee on that one.
And they are still taking.
Absolutely.
Any donations?
Yeah. And that's why I brought it up. And Ben was doing some work in Pierce County here recently on some other stuff as well.
You know, we just get, again, landowners, just like Troy was talking about, you know, I mean, there's, we get people in and out of here, you know, and I think we had a lady here a week or so ago, our last meeting, you know, the pros and the cons,
yes.
and the monies that, you know, that the government's handing out, and, you know, the setbacks, and so at least me here, and I'm sure I'm not speaking for this board, but it's all over the place.
There's a lot of opinions out there.
There is. There really is. It's but you know, Troy couldn't have said any better, and I'm really curious about the intimate, what they call it, intimate domain or whatever they call it. I call it intimate. Okay, because I just got back from Maui with my wife. But anyways, that's
bizarre. I didn't need to hear that, but I had to say it.
Right? But I said it. That's just the way it is.
I was looking for
it's just the way it is.
Scott, thank you.
Thank you. Put that in the headline of the paper, please. But anyways, no, don't do that. But anyways, we're just concerned about that because, like Troy said, there are some people that are not.
Absolutely. And you know, across the 5-state footprint of this project, 2,200 miles, there are people that have very hard opinions against this project.
Yeah.
But there are many, many more, and the majority of supporters that are coming alongside us to partner. And how do you get there? It's through hard work, time, right? Time is a factor.
Yep.
You have to let people kind of get their arms around this. And some of those people might be the last ones to sign on, right? The process of eminent domain is not where this company wants to go. They want to seek voluntary agreements and partner with people, and sometimes that comes together right at the end.
That makes sense.
How long does it take to get eminent domain? Will that delay your 23 starting date, finishing date, what you have planned?
You know, I think if it's too hard to speculate. In individual landowners that are outliers, I think you start construction and work around them. That's not perfect, but you continue to kind of work with people. And it's hard work.
That's something the attorneys look at. We're not.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, lawyers.
They have attorneys that will tell them, hey,
Tell them listen, we appreciate you coming in and giving us a little update. I don't know if you have anything to say.
No, I want to keep you awake, so.
Our intention is, you know, come on a quarterly basis, give you the same type of update as information changes, and take your questions.
Oh, we appreciate that.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, item D, Erica De Leon, Growing Community Connections, sharing information about the development of a community resource center and campus in South Sioux City Opportunity Zone.
Oh, thank you for waiting.
It was a joy. You know what? It really was good for us. You know, you come and you think, oh, we just want to share something with you, see if you want to join us. And hearing all the people that talk to you and ask for things, and every one of them was so important. So it means a lot to me, really, to sit there through this and be able to really kind of understand the questions you're being asked as well. I'm Joanne Gieselman. I'm with Growing Community Connections, and with me is Erica De Leon with One Sioux Land. And we are really glad to be here. Growing Community Connections and One Sioux Land really work together with organizations around our community, hospitals, medical centers, attorneys, employees, yeah, schools. If you name it, that's who we work with. And we believe in that because we believe in collaboration and bringing everybody together to work together. The other thing that we do is we really try to implement collective impact in all our meetings because we feel like it's really important to have a structured meeting in all that we do. So looking at that collaboration piece, one of the things that we came to talk to you today about is the idea that collaboration could be a building, a real place, a community resource center. Because what we have found is that a lot of times people go to a mental health place or a doctor's office and they say, we want you to go somewhere else. We want you to go see this doctor or go to this place and get the food pantry or do that. They never make it because people are tired, they don't have the transportation to get there, they don't have enough gas to get there, they don't know where it is. And even as this, if you don't know the people, it was so good seeing so many faces that I knew today, because if you don't know the people, it's kind of uncomfortable. And then to have to share your story over and over. So we really saw the beauty of a community resource center, one place. It'll be big, but a place where people could go and get connected and find resources. But it will be more than that. It'll be a place where you could also meet some new entrepreneurs who are trying out their coffees or their scarves. So it's a kind of an active place where you can see childcare going on and people are coming and going and it's just warm and inviting. So I want to make sure you know that this wasn't just Eric and I thinking of this, like, oh, this will be a great idea. So starting back,
we made it cool, but we didn't come up.
Yeah. Perfect. In 2015, when I first started this position, I was hearing from a lot of people when I was kind of listening that there's a need for a community resource center. And the meetings that we went to, they would keep saying that. It was like the solution to the problem. And so finally we said, well, maybe we should get together and talk about this community resource center. And when we did, the first thing they asked me to do was to go out and meet with families, because they said, I think partners are on board for this, but I don't know about the families. Do they, you know, are they going to show up if you build it? So I went out and met with families, and I was instructed not to say the word community resource center when I went out. I was just to ask them the gaps and strengths of our community. But community resource center was number one on the list. Number two on the list was actually a water park. So if any of you are thinking about that concept, people are tired of driving to Storm Lake and Sioux Falls and all of that. So
you need more ARPA dollars for that.
That'd be a project.
Mm-hmm. You guys probably get more ARPA dollars than what we got.
We got none.
You know, then in 2017, Erica's group put on a wonderful service array appointment where we all came together as partners, and then we did what's the strengths and gaps in our community. And that was kind of where we really started blending. We do a lot of meetings together anyway, but at that meeting, our community resource center was high on the list among partners. So now we've got families saying they want it. We have partners saying they want it. And then last year, we did what we called a newcomer survey for all the new immigrants to our community, and we said, so what's the strengths and gaps of our community? What do you think we need? And guess what came to the top again? A place they could go to find the resources they need. So we've been hearing it over and over, and in the 7 years that we have been working on this concept, partners have given us ideas, designs, indications that they want to be a part of it. So we really have come to a point now where we need to just move it along. And so part of what we're doing today is going to tell you a little bit more about it, the details, and I'm going to let Erica do that. She's beautiful at that. And then we're just going to inform you and see if there's anything or any ways that you could come along and support it. So Erica?
Yes, thank you. And Cherie sent out our business plan that's pretty detailed, but we do have more detailed numbers and things like that if you really want to look at it. But as Joanne said, this was a concept that was driven by data and by people in the community, whether they're stakeholders or family members that are looking for a place to be able to come together. And she had mentioned some of the many partners, but some of the ones that are most excited about it are ones like Tyson and Wells, who are employing a lot of people in the area, whose HR offices are absolutely inundated with requests for help, and they don't know where to send people. And they repeatedly say, just where? Like, tell me the one place where we can send people to get help with this and this and this. And it's the whole array of things. In my other half of the work I do, I'm an attorney, and I do a lot of immigration law, especially with folks at Tyson right now. And ever since they started bringing a lot of the new refugees in, I've focused specifically with them. And their HR staff, there's at least three of them right now that are completely inundated with helping people just learn how to pay their bills and what to do when you move and how to change your address and all of the basic things that social service organizations are well poised to do. But finding them is a challenge when you're new to the community. The language is a barrier, transportation, driving, all those things are a barrier. So this kind of brings all that together and addresses those challenges in one. So one of the things Joanne mentioned is the collaboration becoming a building. So the strength of GCC is collaboration. Almost 700 partners come together to solve problems related to a lot of areas. We share data, we share solutions, things like that. One thing that's been a challenge of that concept of transitioning to a place is the ownership of that place. And how would this collaborative group that isn't singularly owned right now then have a building? So we've talked, we have a couple of opportunities for that. Joanne's board actually is interested in being that owner if it comes to that. But this area we're talking about in your plan is part of an opportunity zone in the South Sioux area that's right next to the Diebold Soccer Complex. There's an opportunity zone fund created right now for about 20 acres of that, and the fund owner would be willing to, in effect, own the building, at least for the 10 years that there would be tax deferment available for their investors. After that point, we would have to decide whether at that point Joanne would step in and own it. More ARPA dollars come down, somebody wins the lottery, wants to own it. So there's those options. The other option, as I mentioned, would be having a singular entity own it. And to be honest, that's kind of what's held us up on actually securing solid funding for this. When we go to apply for a grant, or we've talked to multiple Nebraska foundations like Kiewit and Sherwood that have funding for these types of projects, they're completely thrilled. They love the concept. It's bigger and better than what they've seen in a lot of other family resource centers nationally. But we need an owner. There needs to be an entity with bank account and EIN number and all that that would own it. So this concept with the Opportunity Zone Fund could address that problem, as could Joanne's board now at this point stepping in to potentially do that. And so now what we're looking for is those first steps, the local commitment to make sure that this is a facility, a thing that's going to happen. And to be honest, part of the reason we're here is because we have a very good friend who's a Lancaster County commissioner. And she was talking with me about unrelated things and mentioned two projects that they're doing in the Lancaster County area that sound exactly like what we're doing. They're just doing it in two buildings because of the different services that they are offering, much bigger space, bigger population, that type of thing, but very similar. And so we had lunch with her last week just to kind of talk through some of the things that they're doing and get a better sense of what it looks like in Lincoln and get some ideas about how that works. Obviously, they have more ARPA dollars than you. We know that. But it just got us thinking that maybe we come share this project with you and see what sort of ideas and thoughts you have, where you think it should go, what other things you think the community
have. You talked to the city on this yet, the city of South Sioux City?
Yes.
How did that go? Because, you know, and I don't mean to interrupt real quick, but at one point in time, and it still semi is, you'd have to really look at the map, but the train bridge, the tracks, mm-hmm. Okay, the north side is South Sioux City, uh-huh. Okay, the south side is Dakota County, mm-hmm. But I think there's been some areas that have been annexed in throughout there, but I know the county still has fire departments and et cetera that take care of the south side of, so it's kind of, okay. But anyways, I just didn't, back to what they said, what I want to hear what South Sioux City said about this, because they have a lot of resources. Lance is good in getting monies and, you know, grants, et cetera. So what did they tell you people?
They were the ones that pointed us more in the direction of the Opportunity Zone Fund and letting them take charge of it. The challenge has been, we've been talking to them since 2020, and it's now 2023, and I do believe that project is moving forward. I think she has either secured or almost secured the financing for the first stage of her project. This would be more of like the second stage. We might still be looking a few years down the road. Her first stage is a 300-unit apartment complex that has veteran preference and a business center with really high tech, all these resources, but in order to get a community center built, there's going to have to be a lot of local fundraising going into it as well. I think her investors are willing to own this project and talk about it as though it's part of theirs, but I think they want local commitment as well. And part of the reason is because if they're going to put the $8 to $10 million into it to build it, they're going to charge us $20 a square foot, triple net,
right,
to be there. And none of the nonprofit partners that are looking at this part of this are going to be able to afford it.
How big of a building is this again?
Around 30,000. And that's just early preliminary numbers with partners that are interested. However, there could potentially be four buildings of that size. Heartland Counseling was one of the original partners to this.
Yep.
During the pandemic, they grew so much, and the need for their services, of course, grew so much. They built their own building that's 30-plus thousand square feet that they opened last week. They're right across the street from where all this is happening.
Yep.
I think one of those maps has a little star for them.
Yep, I see it.
So the other two biggest partners, and one of these conversations is going to change because there's going to be a new superintendent in town in a few months, but the schools really wanted to be able to somehow expand their early childhood and then also their alternative high school programming and have more. They really want to get into zero to three programming because there is a need in the area, but they also want to be able to expand what they've got going on at Ian Sweat. I think they continually grow out of that space with the 4 and 5 year olds, and they would like to be able to move some more of that over to this resource area where there's parenting classes and food and other resources for families. Plus, Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership has been talking to us about potentially co-locating their two locations into a space where families would have more resources together. And if those two organizations could work together, plus the Y that's just up the road, and find a way to do more wraparound care and childcare for children whose parents work at Tyson till late hours or in the early hours, there would be a lot of synergy with those three partners as well. So 30,000 square feet is not going to house all that, but there's enough room there to build a campus of potentially 4 buildings with those resources. The community center that's more of like the hub, the welcome center, would have a lot of the smaller partners that need maybe 1,000 square feet or 500. Or Joanne mentioned entrepreneurs. We got kind of inspired by what a lot of other countries will have, shops down below and the people will live up above. And some of those shops are pretty tiny, but that's all they need for the types of goods and services that they're doing. And a lot of the folks, when they come here, want to open shops like that. I've been in places where they could put 3 shops in this space, and that's enough for them to sell what they need to sell and do what they need to do. So giving people that opportunity without having to get into some big commercial space would be huge, I think, for a lot of our community. So of course, increased incomes, build on the tax base, all the good stuff we like to hear when we're talking about economic development. So there's a lot that's going into it, I know.
Well, it's a very exciting, unique project. Thank you, you two, for all the work you've done. As I mentioned to you before, I mean, from the county's perspective, we haven't really, with our ARPA funds, we've been kind of holding on to those, I guess, as best we can. Especially when they changed the rules and said that we could use them for government services, things like that. But, you know, there wasn't, so there's been a couple of projects that have come to us that definitely, you know, I think me personally, that those are very worthwhile. The college was here a while ago and you know, going to expand there. And I know we've been, in the past, good community partners and help them in their endeavors. So I think this is something I think that the board we have to address going forward is this something that we want to do, knowing that we haven't done that, and once we do that, if we go down that road, that kind of opens it up to a lot of other people that have other projects as well. So it's very worthwhile.
If I think of, when the college first went up, whatever it was, 8-10 years ago, you know, of course they got the wall of the people that give. And I think the county, I just when she was here, the doctor from
Dr. Hansen?
Yes.
Last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I think originally, you know, they got a phase two going on. And I think originally the county gave $25,000, I think, at that point in time. So I think once this project gets up and going, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to donate, but I think once it gets up and rolling and you guys get some investors going on and et cetera, I think you just need to present it back to the, you know, just like Bob said, we like to be involved, you know, in the county. But at the same time, you know, that ARPA money is nice money to have. But with what we have going on through the county, with, like I was talking earlier, with bridges, and I mean, there's bridges that have been closed for a few years, you know, and a lot of them are critical, fractured. So, I mean, we could sit down in 2 minutes and get rid of that money. You know, I mean, seriously, you really could. pretty easy. So we just want to make sure. But I think as it goes on, and we wish you the best. And was it Cardinal Connections before?
It was, and Dakota County Connections. And
yes, I remember I was a part of that way back in the day with Sally Reinhart.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I see your emails all the time, and I know. And you
stop and read one of them.
I read your emails.
Great.
Okay, I see him. He just threw me under the bus. That's all of us. Thank you. But no. I know that you have a lot of enthusiasm listening to you. And I know you're very passionate about what you guys have going on. You can tell.
Have you talked to, like, Tyson and Wells? Are they willing to be a partner in something like this? I know the daycare is a huge thing for our community. I mean, it's probably the number one need, especially in a blue-collar community like this. I mean, are they willing to come to the table and maybe...
They are, and the whole Tyson transition is slowing things down. Tyson actually for a while was really interested in having a space there. They started putting healthcare clinics in some of their communities, and they should have picked Dakota County first, honestly. They didn't. They picked some of the smaller communities, and they were having some trouble taking off, and so they weren't going to build another one until those were profitable. But that was the concept. It would build around this healthcare center. So then, well, what else do you need while you're here? Mental health and child care and all the different things. So when their other ones weren't going well, and now with their corporate relocating, and some of the folks that were involved in some of this early on are actually retiring and not relocating. So it's changing the dynamic a little bit.
Okay.
Just tell Tyson it's a write-off.
Don't worry.
I love when people come to businesses and they're like, it's a write-off. Oh, does that mean I don't have to pay for it?
But the one stop shopping idea, I mean, for people coming regardless of where they're from and what they are, whether they're destitute, they come in, or they're immigrants or whatever, I mean, where you can go one place and get all those questions answered is a huge positive, especially with a lot of the other people willing to come in under the same roof and do those things. So.
Well, especially when you look back on the pandemic. I mean, when that happened, if there had been a place that we could have just had, it would have
had the food and had everything in.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of scrambling of how do we get food to people and where. And I mean, we had teachers driving boxes of food to people's apartments trying to connect and make sure they were taken care of. So, But and as far as Tyson, it's definitely a local plant project. Tyson Corporate doesn't do buildings anymore.
Okay.
So a Seaboard, though, is the one that we need to work on. Seaboard, I've been told through some back channels, has a goal of putting their name on everything in the community. So.
All right. Well, there we go. We got one right there.
Look at the building right along the highway where John Morrell was at.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So do you have a running list of potential...
that we're asking and checking back in with and all that.
Right.
Put you on our list.
Well, and because
you mean
I mean...
partners?
I mean, that's all I want to know. I just didn't know if you've got that far yet where you have, this person or company has committed to X amount of funds, et cetera. I didn't know how close you were to...
And that's kind of the balance is how close are we to putting shovels in the ground where somebody would actually commit to something? And
right.
That's been the balance of it, because also the partners who would be putting space there also need kind of a timeline before they can sign something and commit to being.
Has Empirical been approached?
We talked to them at one point.
It's been a very long
time. It's been a while, though. I can't remember where the conversation went with them, but
that would be a good
idea,
I would think.
Yeah, especially with the location.
Yeah. And if Empirical had their way, they would own that whole building over there. If they
could have it their way.
What's that?
Oh, they could have it their way.
Well, no, I don't think they... I mean, meaning the whole building...
No, he's talking about the whole
what they're attached to the whole Tyson. If they had it their way, they would have that whole building.
Yeah. And you might someday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
Interesting stuff always going on.
You never know what goes on. Thank you, though.
Thank you for your time,
it's great luck to you guys.
Thank you. Okay. Item E, Randy Ron. I do not see Randy here from the... Senior Center. I did talk to him on the phone the other day, and they are still. He was going to give us an update, and
didn't the city jump in, Bob, and do a few things?
They did.
Okay.
They did. And
I don't know what they did, and probably don't need to know right now.
A lot of work going on.
Okay. They did a block grant.
They're trying to get there.
Nice.
So, we will just move on then. Sheriff Kleinberg is here for a fire alarm panel with bids for replacement, requesting board approval to move forward. We have four bids, correct? Sure?
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Okay, so they're all over the place, Sheriff, right? So, and I like to always express this, cheapest isn't always the best. Okay, and by you looking, and I know you've looked these over thoroughly, okay, by what you're looking at, because I see 35, 40 some, 28, what is the best bang for the buck?
The cheapest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No brainer.
I mean, it's a legitimate question because I've seen sometimes cheaper isn't always the best.
We couldn't get a bid from these guys for a long time. We've been working on this system's been going down for 3 years. So with fire alarm system, that's not something we want. But it's the charging system of the backup batteries that's bad. We can't get parts for it.
So the 23842?
Yeah.
Holy moly, you got one almost 60. I mean, they're just all over the place.
Because the other companies want to replace everything. Associated already has it. They're just going to replace the actual fire detectors, not the rest of it and the panel.
They're just going to replace what we need.
Yeah, and these other companies that have to change everything to make it fit their panel.
Okay, so Associated is the people that you recommend, and they are the cheapest bid.
And that's who we have now.
And that's who we have now. Okay.
The problem is, I don't know if I got that in my budget to spend. But it's building, so it's your guys' deal, right?
Hey, the whole building's made out of concrete. What's going to burn?
Well, okay. I have people roaming around in the jail, thank God.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. So you're requesting for the fire alarm panel. We have the four bids. The cheapest, obviously, is Associated that we've dealt with, and their bid is $23,842. Okay, and I would make a motion to approve that to move forward with Associated to do the fire panel.
Okay. I'd second that.
Okay. Motion by Scott, seconded by Marty to approve the bid.
Thank you, Sheriff. Have a great night.
I'm going to talk slow, but.
Hey, Sheriff. Sheriff, the other day, our maintenance guy was gone. Kevin, he had leg injury. And I was up and I was helping the county attorney's office get some furniture out of the way so they could get some stuff in there. And I asked one of your deputies, Jared, if you'd give me a hand. And I just want you to know, he did it without reservation. Did a great job. And I appreciate that. So, thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, and thanks for helping out with the snow removal, too.
Yeah, I had that done before Monday morning.
I know.
I just paying the cops on now.
I know. But thanks for helping out.
And no problem. Thank you, Corporal.
Okay, we need to call a roll on that bid.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Okay. Don Bosquet is here with a request for computer upgrades for office.
Hi, Don.
Hi. I'm putting, requesting... Hopefully it gets approved that we can update the computers in our office. The one in my office doesn't need updated. I just got one last year. The other ones are 2018. We have one that's 2019. Last year I bought some, I don't know what they are, some things through MIPS that was, like there were 80 some odd dollars to put on the four or five front ones in the windows to upgrade those. We continually have problems with slowness. The girls, when they're scanning at their desk, I hear complaints and was wondering if with the ARPA funds if we could replace all those so they're all updated, so they're all the same year.
Even like a 19, they're having trouble with, huh?
Yeah, the 19 is Stephanie's.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So... just, and things change. I called RTI and talked with them because the scanner one, I'd like to move that workstation, and he said, yeah, he said all of your computers are, they could be replaced right now, you know, with faster moving things and keep us moving. So in the future, we don't have to replace them at the expense of my budget.
So the 12, it says 12.
That would be the five at the window.
Yep.
The girls' desk. The scanner one. Steph's office. Stephanie. And who was? Yeah, let's see. I have them all written down.
And the ones at the window are the same as the ones at the desk because...
Well, we put those things in it.
Right.
We did last year.
But MIPS, when they set that up, MIPS had, you know, a full-blown one at the desk. Mm-hmm. And then the window ones were a little lesser version of that because they didn't need that full computer.
I asked him when I talked to him about it. First, I had him give me a bid for the scanner one to replace that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to talking about the other computers in the office, and he said that would be a good one for all of them.
And then where are they through?
I'm sorry?
Where are they coming
RTI.
From?
RTI.
RTI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it, right? And they're compatible with everything with MIPS, you think?
Yeah, it's what we have now. RTI has all of our computers.
I know that. So then but I'm talking about running the MIPS software.
Yes.
And they're all compatible.
Yes.
And then that $80 thing we put in them, is that something you transfer over? Do you get that again?
We wouldn't need it. Because it would be a new computer, we wouldn't need that to help upgrade the drive.
Dawn has some good plans and some things that need to be done in the treasurer's office. A lot of different cabinets. I was explaining to Troy with
the walls.
There's just a lot of different things.
And in that one, in my office, there's paneling plus, you know, just
a piece of sheetrock.
And there's just a lot of
a dyno.
Things that could be looking a lot better than what they do now.
We got to start somewhere, and this is the reason. I know it's a ripple effect, and everybody, listen, this is the time if you need your things that you need to be updated. Obviously, we got some money, and I know that everybody has a few things that they want to get done. And I see next on the list is juvenile services. So, you know, with ARPA funds, the 14,873,64, I know that you guys do computer work all day long. You need it. Let's do it.
And you can get the people to flow through faster.
I'm trying.
So, anyways, I would make a motion. I would make a motion to approval.
I don't like that line anymore.
Upgrades for the entire office for the treasurer's office for Don Busquet's office.
I'll second.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Call and roll, please.
Now they're all doing down. Yes. They're all wear out at the same time.
Marty?
Yeah.
That's true.
Troy?
Yes.
That's true.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. Kristen Robinette is not here.
No,
but
she's not
no
here,
desk.
So she doesn't get anything. Okay.
No here, no there.
No.
She does have. I did talk to her one day.
I've talked to her as well.
She has a desk. That will work, and it's $1,500. I tried to find something that would work for her, but unfortunately, we don't have anything.
And there's no legs. The ones that you found, there was no legs for it. And
yep.
It's.
I tried.
We need to get a desk for
it. Yeah.
I know she was requesting a couple other things, but let's just take.
That's all we have on the.
Right. So yeah, let's. Did you make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the desk for juvenile services.
Okay, I'll second it. The
okay.
1515.
Motion by Brian, seconded by Scott to approve.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Absolutely.
Okay. Item 5, Commissioner Committee Report. Scott?
Yeah, I think we did that. I don't remember. No, I don't think I have anything, so it's gone.
Okay.
I gotta say this though. I think there was something. I think there is something, but I can't remember.
All right. After that glowing information,
we're gonna put that on your grave marker.
Perfect.
Brian, was that?
I have nothing.
Okay.
I met with the Veterans Oversight Committee, and there's a new member that is going to be coming on the Oversight Committee. So he'll be down in front of us at our next meeting to get approved for a 3-year term, and they. One of the things they do is they raise some money and they give $50 twice a year to our veterans that are in our nursing homes.
They get together and go meet with the vets, so I think it's a pretty worthwhile deal. But they do their own fundraising, and so I think that they're doing a lot of good things. And that's the only thing I have.
Okay. Troy?
Nothing.
No? The only thing I have is I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks starting tomorrow.
I hope it rains the whole time you're there.
And
are you going to be involved in intimate domain as well?
Oh.
Sri?
Look at it. He just immediately.
That's all I have. So, Troy.
You liked that, didn't you?
Troy's going to fill in for me, so... if you have anything,
hey, we'll be gentle.
Any fires that need put out, yeah, be gentle. Sheree, go ahead.
We just got the sheriff's standard report and the jail standards.
Everything's
report.
Good.
Everything's in compliance.
Fantastic.
If anybody wants to see that, I just put this in your packet because there was the broadband stuff that was going around where they're trying to. Simcoe is trying to get that study done, and NNTC out of Jackson has gotten some money, so they're going to start putting broadband out between Homer and Hubbard.
No, no. Cool.
That way.
Cool.
That's kind of cool.
Who's going to do that?
NNTC.
The phone company in Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And yep. I put this in your packet, too. Nirma sent this out. This is something new, and I'm going to send it to all the elected officials and stuff, too, but they're... We can have access to their HR helpline, and they've added even more features to their HR helpline.
Including what, three attorneys, or some attorneys?
Yes, attorneys and what else? I mean, there's a list of stuff here, additional things that they're adding to that. So I'll pass this out to all the elected officials and stuff. Okay. That's one that came
they sent me one in the mail.
Did you guys all get one?
I did.
I think I did too, tell you the truth.
Maybe all the electric. Did you guys already get these?
I got one.
It comes like.
Okay. And also your C1 filing, March 1st. I think we talked about that earlier.
Am I done?
So.
Did you do yours?
Yeah.
Redo it after the election?
Yep.
Okay.
Brian?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Okay. Well, have fun in wherever you're going.
Thanks so much.
The Big Island?
Undisclosed location.
Yeah, it's undisclosed.
Can I get a copy of the Summit Carbon presentation?
I'll give you mine.